Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Missourian Dale Carnegie has been helping people all over the world win friends and influence people since he wrote the book of the same name a couple of generations ago. His story just a little bit later, but first a look at Illinois Governor Pat Quinn's State of the State assessment. Joining us to talk about it for a few minutes is Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky. She joins us from Springfield. Amanda, nice to talk to you again.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, tell me, did Governor Quinn win many friends or influence many people yesterday?
I'm not quite sure. The comeback kid really made a big comeback there with that speech, but he did successfully navigate his way from all of the doldrums of Illinois' finances. He escaped all of that, and a lot of people described his speech as, you know, a fantasy. I heard words like delusional. I'm not sure it went quite that far, but Governor Pat Quinn gave a very optimistic view of what he has accomplished it was the five-year anniversary to the day since he had become governor, and what he wants to accomplish going forward. So it was basically, I would venture, a prolonged campaign commercial, and if that's what he was looking to do, success.
That's exactly the point I was going to make, that many of the things that I've read about the speech from people, critics and otherwise, say that it was more of a campaign speech than it was a State of the State address.
Exactly. The governor did assess some of, as I said, his victories, and whereas it is a matter for debate how involved Pat Quinn is or whether he deserves the credit for things that the General Assembly did it last year, he nonetheless, of course, as governor, gets to proclaim them as his own, and so things like same-sex marriage, the pension overhaul that, of course, unions don't like, but nonetheless, Governor Quinn had very much wanted, and he says will be a success when it comes to Illinois' budget. And so he gave stock of the state in that regard, and then the rest of it was laying out his new five-year plan. So it was not a one-year plan. It was a five-year vision for the future. So I think we're seeing right there, that's Governor Quinn presuming he will be chosen to remain on in that job. And yes, a campaign in that regard, in that it did not take any hard looks at what Illinois will need to do. It ignored that halfway through the next fiscal year, the income tax increase will roll back, and the budget will need to go forward. Of course, he does have a budget address coming up, so some could say that it's fair that he didn't talk about, you know, Illinois finances and just wade into that nastiness at this point in time, because he'll have to do that later. Nonetheless, when you're proposing major investments, he wants, for example, to double the amount of money that Illinois gives to in MAP grants. Those are basically helping low-income students pay for college tuition. He wants every child to have access to early childhood, so basically, you know, preschool. He wants investments in infrastructure. And he listed off all of those things without any acknowledgement that it's going to cost a whole lot of money that the state doesn't have.
We should point out, by the way, for those who don't know, that this is an election year for Governor Quinn, primary coming up in March, during which he should have no problem, I guess, but November, a much different scenario potentially.
Exactly. So as you said, he shouldn't have a problem in the primary. He does have an opponent, T.O. Hardeman, but that opponent has raised virtually no money. And so, yes, Pat Quinn will get the Democratic nomination. Who will get the Republican nomination remains to be seen. There is a most definite battle for that between venture capitalist Bruce Rauner, state treasurer Dan Rutherford, and state senators Bill Brady, the nominee last time around, and the man who just missed out on being the nominee last time around, Senator Kirk Dillard. So they're all fighting amongst themselves, and of course, they all actually were present and watched the governor give his speech and weren't fans of anything that the governor had to say, of course. That comes as no surprise, but you very much have in this speech Pat Quinn looking to that election already. I mean, one could say, again, this investment in early childhood and preschool. Well, Bruce Rauner, the Republican frontrunner right now, judged by the money that he has put into his campaign, he's wealthy, so he's put millions of his own money into it, and then his wealthy friends have done the same. And so his wife runs, it's called Ounce of Prevention. It's an early childhood outreach and advocacy group. And Bruce Rauner has put a lot of money into charter schools. So I think you're seeing there perhaps the governor already looking to get out in front of that issue.
What we're hearing a lot here, and I'm sure you are too, with regard to what he had to say yesterday, focuses on his plans or hopes for increasing the minimum wage.
Yeah, it's interesting because, of course, this speech by the governor came a day after the State of the Union speech by President Obama, where he talked about a $10.10 federal minimum wage for contractors, and that came after last year Obama had wanted an increase federally in the minimum wage overall, and that, of course, did not happen, and the governor at that point in time embraced Obama's idea. Now we're really seeing him hit home on it, and again, that's because of the election. This is something that the governor has, Quinn has said he supported before, but now you're hearing a lot of talk about it. That plays well with his base. It's not just that. He also wants to require that there be, you know, some sort of sick days given to minimum wage workers and a doubling of the earned income tax credit, which is basically a tax break meant to help the working poor. And so all of these things that are going to help him play to the Democratic base and help out, in general, populist moves.
Is there any kind of a legislative appetite for going ahead with this, do you think?
You know, it remains to be seen. Of course, Illinois has Democrats in control mm-hmm. of the House and the Senate with supermajorities, and so could they get it done? Yes. And we've heard talk from especially the president of the state Senate, John Cullerton, embracing the idea or at least some form of increasing the minimum wage. So potentially so. Again, you need to look at it, though, that Democrats, particularly downstate, are different than Democrats from Chicago, like Pat Quinn. And they may not like that just as much. They are facing higher unemployment in a lot of these counties. Small businesses are adamantly against it. Already, Illinois has an $8.25 minimum wage, so higher than the federal minimum wage. And they say that that's going to be a job killer, and the focus needs to be on creating high-paying jobs. I should add that this comes under the umbrella of a larger tax discussion. I touched on the expiration of the income tax increase that will be occurring. There's also been a lot of talk about corporate disclosure. Today, the Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan, so a powerful man in Illinois, has introduced a rollback of the corporate income tax. So that may be something that would offset the rise in the minimum wage, but it's really small businesses that are complaining about the rise in the minimum wage, and they're probably paying the personal income tax, not the corporate one. But the speaker wants to basically half it from 7% to 3.5%.
Well, it sure does sound like an election year with all this talk about taxes. We only have about 20 seconds left. You mentioned unions being concerned about this pension overhaul. Can you, in 15 seconds, tell me what that concern is?
So they believe that it is unconstitutional what Illinois did in reducing workers' retirement benefits. And this week, they finally filed a lawsuit that had been expected. So they say that it is unfair, even though it will sensibly help to shore up Illinois' $100 billion of pension debt the state is having to pay down.
Something else throughout this election year that we'll be talking about. Amanda Vindicke, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so very much. Have a good one.
You too. When we come back, we'll talk about Missourian Dale Carnegie and his role as self-help guru, whose advice has been followed by tens of millions. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.